بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إذا أتيتم الصلاة فأتوها وأنتم تمشون ولا تأتوها وأنتم تسعون وعليكم السكينة فما أدركتم فصلوا وما فاتكم فقدوه. This morning I was discussing this hadith with the students. Sometimes it happens that several commands of Allah Ta'ala are directed to us at one and the same time. So when you're getting different commands of Allah Ta'ala being directed to us at one and the same time, what do we do? You've got a situation where Rasulullah is encouraging us to get into the first saf, to perform namaz with the takbir-e-ula. So this is the one command, this is the one encouragement. Then you have left home to come to the masjid. If you do not hurry and you do not run to the masjid, you will miss out the takbir ula, you may miss out the first saf. So two commands are being directed towards you at one and the same time. So you can do one of two, you may do one of two things. Either compromise one, or do the both. If you try to do the both, then not at all times will you be able to do the both, because you have left at a time that you know that you're going to reach the masjid, you'll miss one rakat, or you will miss out the takbir ula. Then what do you do? So this hadith tells us that you come gracefully to the masjid. Alaykum as-sakina. Come and come gracefully to the masjid. Don't come speedily, don't come in a hurry. Come gracefully. But then what about you missing out one rakat? What about missing out the takbir ula? So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explains that what you have got, you complete that. What you have missed out, then you try and cover up for that rakat that you have missed out. But don't take the option of compromising one in order to get the other right. If you want to rush to the masjid, you want to run to the masjid, then you have compromised one command. The command was that come and come gracefully. So you have got the takbir ula, you have got the first saf, but you have not at all recognized the second command. So now this is just one example, one illustration. But there will be different situations that will come up in your life. Right? Now you've married, so you've got a wife to look after and you've got parents to look after. As far as the wife is concerned, is the ayat of the Quran, Ashiruhunna bil ma'ruf. Then you make mu'ashara. In other words, you socialize, you live with them. You live with them with respect, with dignity, with equity. You deal with them, you live with them with equity, with respect, and in a dignified way. But then you have got the command of Allah Ta'ala directed to you about your parents also simultaneously. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. So if the Quran is directing you to look after and take care of your wife, then the same Quran is also instructing you to take care of your parents. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Now, how do you get the both right? Now, most people fail in this. The general take is this, that the wife is mine, so I need to look after her. But the mother and the parents is everybody's. Everybody needs to take care. This is a general take. That it's not only my mother, it's not only my father, it's everybody's. So everybody needs to take care. But the wife is mine only. So when the command is being directed to you, you will look for a way out of the situation. Not to see what is the temperament of the Quran. What is the Quran saying? It's not saying you that one brother, the big brother, small brother, whichever, or small sister, big sister, is commanding you all and just not asking you that you fulfill the rights, but it is commanding you to be good towards them, to be kind towards them. In other words, one degree above goodness. One is to fulfill their rights. I fulfill their rights. They wanted food, drink, shelter, I gave it to them. But the Quran did not say this. What does it say? وَبِالْ وَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. You go one degree above the right. They needed shelter, I gave them a shelter. They needed food, I gave them the food. They needed some bed, I gave them the bed. And what else? I can't take the whole load on myself. But then wife, the Quran only asked you to live with them with respect and dignity. But how much didn't you do for them? If there's investment, not without you. And if there is Umrah trip, not without you. And there is any type of occasion, not without you. Invitation, not without you. Everywhere, you must be there in the equation. So is this balanced? Or is there an imbalance? We need to ask ourselves, is there an imbalance or is it balanced? The Quran Sharif is commanding that work simultaneously. This also you take care of and you take care of this. In the whole Quran Sharif, Ashiruhunna, one place. And Wabil Walidain Ihsan, I don't know how many places in the Quran Sharif. It's been emphasized so much. This is just once, and this is so many times, it's a repetition, that take care of it. When Allah Ta'ala speaks about Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, and he praises him, وَبَرَّمْ بِوَالِدَتِي. From all the other goodness of Isa alayhi salam, بَرَّمْ بِوَالِدَتِي, was kind towards his mother. Talks about Zakariya alayhi salam, وَبَرَّمْ بِوَالِدَيْ. And he was kind, he was good towards his parents. Now, the Anbiya alayhi salam, what are they doing? Spreading deen, bringing people to guidance, hidayat, showing them the way to Jannat, saving them from Jahannam. So that is all one side. But the Quran Sharif, when it's speaking about them in a way of praising them, then the Quran Sharif is speaking about the goodness that they would do towards their parents. And who is the Quran Sharif speaking about? The Quran Sharif is speaking about the Anbiya, the cream of the creation. And then when it is the cream of the creation, then the Quran Sharif will show the cream of the efforts. The cream, the most accepted, most liked of the efforts. What? Bil walidain ihsana. That they were good towards their parents. They were righteous towards their parents. They were kind towards their parents. So both commands of Allah Ta'ala are coming towards you, directed towards you simultaneously, one at the same time. So there you won't say, no, when it comes to your wife, then you don't say, no, I did this for my wife, I did this for my wife. You say that. But when it comes to your parents, you know, I did this for them. So that means the father was a stranger, the wife was a stranger, the wife was not part of you, and the parents were strangers, so you have to talk about it to impress upon others that, no, I'm doing something for my parents. But then the wife, why didn't you have to ask about it? Why didn't you have to say something about it? So, no, it's part of me. That's accepted. I have to do. She is me and I am her. That's what you say. So like you're spending on her, you're spending on yourself. So you don't need to speak about it. But it's your parents that I have to do. I have to speak about it. Every small khidmat that I do, I need to speak about it. So is this fair? Is this balanced? No balance. Simultaneous. The Quran is saying simultaneous. You do that khidmat and you do it like it's your own. One person says, you know, I've done so much for my parents. I've done this and I've done this and I've done this. And have I fulfilled the rights of my parents? So no. So why you haven't fulfilled the rights of the parents? So when the parents, they brought you up, right? Their wish and their aspiration was that you must live. And as they aging, what is your wish? What is your aspiration? What is your inner feeling? Hey, let's hope they go out peacefully. And their whole hope, their whole desire, their whole ambition was that they must, you must live, you must continue, you must outlive them. And what's your intention? You must go out peacefully. See where their intention, where their goals are, and where your goal is. So, you cannot compare your khidmat to their khidmat. You cannot compare your goodness and your kindness to their kindness. So there won't be a point in time where you'll be able to fulfill their rights. So this is an ongoing thing in the Quran Sharif. Ongoing thing. That there are several rights directed to you, towards you. And they are directed towards you simultaneously, one and the same time. Now, how are you going to balance? How are you going to go do all that? One and the same time. This is a command of Allah Ta'ala. This is a command of Allah Ta'ala. This is a command of Allah Ta'ala. Many a times, we complain, no, I'm doing this, but I don't see the fruit. Like you say, you know, namaz is a solution for your problems. It will guard you against evil. It will make your rosy easy, right? But I'm doing it, but I don't see things working out for me. So there must be some missing ingredient. There must be some missing ingredient. You want something, right? You have to fulfill all the preconditions to get up there. You didn't fulfill the preconditions, so you won't get up there. Right? Now, I bought the car, but the car is not working. Oh, but you didn't check up the car? What's wrong? No, the gears aren't working. So the car was everything. There was the car, there was the windscreen, there was the hooter. Everything else was working, but the gearbox wasn't working. So one ingredient of the car was missing. So when you want that namaz to work, then you need to see that all the ingredients of the namaz is there. If one ingredient is not there, then that namaz will not work for you. Like you see that car, and there is that missing ingredient, that car cannot work for you, similarly is the namaz. The namaz can't work for you. Then the one thing is this, that ingredients must be there, all the parts must be there. Of the namaz, every part that is required must be there. For the food to be enjoyable and tasty, you need all the ingredients to be there. Right? If the salt is not there, every other thing is there. The meat is there, masala is there, everything else is there, but there is no salt, absolutely no salt. When you eat that food, you can't, no taste. The cake is made, everything is prepared. The cream is there, and the flour is there, and the strawberry, whatever else, everything was there. But there was no sugar there. Will you eat? So there is a missing ingredient. And because of the missing ingredient, nobody is prepared to buy that cake. Hey, I got so much of cake here, nobody wants to buy. What's wrong? Someone put jadu in the shop here. That's immediate, our immediate response, someone put jadu, someone did something. Immediate. But do we see that, do we have any missing ingredient in the namaz? The namaz would have worked for you. It would have made you flourishing, it would have made you thriving. And why is it not thriving? Why is that shop not thriving? You've got a bakery, you've got everything. But why is it not thriving? There's a missing ingredient in that cake. There's no sugar there. So it's not going to, they're going to come, they'll buy it, and perhaps out of the goodness of the person's heart, you will not return it. But you say, no, first and last, I won't go back to that place. Only say that. So it's a missing ingredient. So the namaz also is not working for you because there is a missing ingredient. Now, then there's two things that you'll have to see. One is the missing ingredient in namaz. Are the postures done all correctly? Sometimes the sajda is done, it is going onto the ground, coming up. Going to the ground, coming up straight away. Like how an animal or a bird just pecks, you know, comes up. Pecks and comes up straight away. As though you got an electric shock, so you just got up straight away. You just went onto the ground and you got up straight away. So there isn't that type of itminan, there isn't the type of ease that you are doing the posture with. Right? So sometimes that is missing out. Sometimes these two postures, the qada, that sitting between the two sajdas, and sometimes the qoma, the standing between the ruku and going into sajda. The standing that goes between the ruku and going into sajda, that's called the qoma. So sometimes that is not done right. You just get up and straight away you are darting into sajda. So sometimes this is not done right, sometimes that is not done right. Sometimes those du'as that have to be recited, they are not recited correctly. I ask the general student, alright, you're performing namaz and I see a lot of qiraat going on. a lot of qiraat and a lot of tajweed and everything else. And you're spacing it very, very well. Maybe when you're performing a nafal namaz, are you doing the same? With the qiraat and with the recitation and tajweed and everything. So was there a different khuda at the time that you were reading nafil namaz and a different khuda that you were reading faraz namaz? Alright, when you were reading a surah Fatiha on your own in that faraz namaz, and when you were doing it softly, was it the same like you were doing it when you were reading it loud? So was there someone else that you were worshipping then and someone else you were worshipping now? Do you see the difference, disparity? Then what was the reason for the difference? If the khuda is the same, Allah Ta'ala is the same, then there wasn't a reason for doing it differently then, different now. This is the first two rakats, this is the last two rakats. Like you are worshipping the same Allah Ta'ala, you are talking to Him, you are talking to the same Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. There is no different Allah Ta'ala. So one is to get all the ingredients right in that namaz. And the second is to see that ingredients are in the right proportion as well. Right? You got the ingredients right very well, but have you got it in the right proportion? If the proportion is right, not right, then two is not right. You're supposed to put 1 teaspoon of salt and you added 20 tablespoons of salt. Now, anybody's going to eat that food? No, they're not going to eat that food. Why? The ingredient is not right. Now, I've got everything. I've got the meat, I've got the spice, I've got the potatoes, I've got everything else. Everything, top class, I've got it. From Honey Fresh, I've got it. I've got everything. Very well, I've got it done. But you are not buying from me. You didn't get the ingredients right. The ingredient was there, but not in the right proportion. So the namaz was right, but the namaz was not in the proportion. The sajda was too short. The qoma was not right. So when the Quran Sharif speaks about namaz, then I don't think there is a single verse of the Quran which says, Sallu salatakum. It says, Aqeemus salah. Wherever the Quran Sharif is speaking about namaz, Aqeemus salah. Establish namaz. Get it right, get it straight. Not just Sallu salatakum, perform your namaz, read your namaz, but everywhere, wherever the Quran is saying, approximately 30 times, some odd times speaking about namaz, but wherever you see, say, Aqeemus salah. Get it right. Establish it. Get it right. So one is to get the posture right, and the other is that you don't be just content with getting the posture right. Then you see the ingredients, what amount you need to be doing in this posture, what amount you need to be doing in that posture. Now you got the ingredient right, and you got the proportions also right. You got the ingredients right, and you got the proportions also right. Now inshallah that namaz will work for you. And the third thing, obviously, is then try and concentrate in the namaz. Alright, in that respect you'll say, I can't get the level of concentration that is required. Alright, but you are trying. So you are trying, Allah Ta'ala watches you are trying. He watches that you are interested. So He will forgive you for that. And more so, where you find that hadith which says, that you people are in a zamana, that if you miss out 1/10 of what you've been commanded, then it's enough for your destruction. And there will be a coming generation where if they do 1/10 of what they've been commanded, then that is sufficient for their survival and their salvation. So that is this zamana. Where if you do 1/10 of what you've been commanded, then it's enough for your survival. That 1/10 doesn't mean the quantity, it means the quality. If it meant the quantity, then 1 rozah in 10 rozahs was sufficient. 1 namaz in 10 days was sufficient, right? So it's not the quantity that the Quran Hadith is speaking about, it's the quality. Quality, some things you can't manage. You can't get the level of concentration and khushu like the Sahaba Ikram had. But yes, you can try. How much they tried, you tried at least 1/10 of that. Inshallah, it's sufficient for your survival. So if they came long stretches and long periods of time to the masjid, you try a shorter period, at least come 5 minutes, 10 minutes before the namaz can commence, right? You engage in a little bit of istighfar. You engage in a little bit of reflection about death, right? Now these are the two things that get your concentration right. A little bit you reflected about wrongs that you have done, istighfar, you had some sorrowful feelings. I spoke to this person, I shouldn't have been speaking to him like this. Or I dealt with him in the wrong way. Or I'm not sure how I dealt here. I think I just overstepped the mark. So you are asking Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness. Even if it's just 1 minute, but you are asking Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness. Allah Ta'ala looks at the remorse, the sorrow feeling of the heart. Allah Ta'ala washes you out. You don't wait for that sin to accumulate to ask Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness. But as it comes and you're washing it out. As it comes and you wash it out. Like with dirt, as it comes, you wash it out straight away. You don't wait for it to accumulate. If you wait for it to accumulate, it can cause into some other complication. The filth is jammed up in your stomach and you're not cleaning it up. There's some filth, there's something that is, you're constipated, or there's some filth that's all accumulating, pus or whatever else, and you're waiting for it to accumulate and accumulate. What's going to happen? One day that thing can become cancerous then. It becomes severe. Now you can't get the thing. It's part of your system. You have to live with it now. So the same with guna. As the guna is coming in, the wrong is coming in, whether you're clear about it or whether you are not clear about it, but as it comes, you're clearing it up. It comes and you're clearing it up. So it comes and you're clearing it up, then you're not allowing it to accumulate. It becomes now impossible or very difficult to clean and get out of the system. See the difference between us and the people of the past was, they would refer to the elders. Whatever it was, small or big, whatever issues it was, they would refer. If it was the time of Rasulullah Paak Sallam, the Sahaba Ikram are referring to Rasulullah Paak Sallam, Ya Rasulullah, what do we do in this situation? Small things or big things, it may seem to us small, but they would refer. They would ask Rasulullah Paak Sallam, two Sahaba, Usaid ibn Hudayr, Abbad ibn Bishr, radiyallahu, they come up to Rasulullah Paak Sallam and they discuss a thing about women's menses. The Jews, when the woman is in the menses, then let alone having any type of relationship with the woman, they don't even eat with them, they don't share the same room, they would separate the rooms, they would separate the eatings, let alone the sleeping, not even sleeping with them. So now this was the extreme that the Jew went into. That when she's in that monthly period of hers, then they separated her completely. Now this is that extremism. And that extremism, it sounds, you know, on the surface it sounds very good. The person is an extremist, he's a fanatic. And he's very strong. So this fanaticism is not a good thing in Islam. Because outwardly it seems good. Right? But when you go to that extreme limit, then you can't maintain that speed all the time. Then you collapse, you can't maintain it afterwards. You're going, 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 and then after that you are gone. But if you live with moderation, al-qasd, al-qasd, tablughu. You go with moderation, you will be able to maintain it. And you go the full speed, you will go for a certain distance and say, no, I can't manage it at all. Now you brought the frustration upon yourself. So deen is encouraging you to go and to live with moderation. Remember that you will not have the complete control over the deen in one go. So you try gradually. You try gradually. You see there's different movements, right? Tabligh Jamaat, etc. Right? They understand this. They understand this, that the people that they will work with, they will not be able to get them into complete deen at once. So they will try with moderation. Because if they're going to try full speed, you know, what's going to happen? They won't achieve anything. They won't achieve anything. And if they go at minus speed or very slow speed, they won't get anything. So they will go with moderation. All right. Now they're burning the person up. He was performing one namaz in the day, now he's getting to two namazes. He was not fasting at all in the month of Ramadan, he's fasting slowly, he's beginning to fast. Right? Where he was eating usually on interest, now he's going into halal businesses and halal enterprises. Right? So gradually he's coming up. Now they understand this, therefore they will take the person and they will take him with moderation. But now you go one shot, you know, now you want to do it and you do it full speed, then you're not going to last. That famous hadith where that group of people came into the house of Rasulullah Paksam, Rasulullah wasn't present. And they inquired about Rasulullah Paksam's namaz and ibadat, etc. And then one said, no, where are we? No, we have no comparison with Rasulullah Paksam. I'll fast for the rest of my life. Other one says, no, I will stand up at night for the rest of my life. Other one, I will never marry. Rasulullah heard about it. He was not at all happy. He says, I am atqaakum lillah, a'lamukum billah. I know Allah Ta'ala more than you know. And I fear Allah Ta'ala more than you fear, but yet I fast and I eat. And I marry women. and I sleep and I stand up at night. I do both. So what he is trying to impress upon us is you live with moderation. Gradually, when you're getting that urge, then you go up, it's all right. But from the beginning, you went full force, you went full swing, you went, and then you couldn't maintain the speed. Now what happens? Now you're getting into frustration. Whatever you were doing, you're going to leave that out as well. So you rather go with moderation, go slowly, go. But don't be lazy, don't be sluggish, and don't be lazy. It's not today I did it, tomorrow, just leave it out. You do it, do slowly, do little. Starting off with zikr, start off slowly, 100 times. Right? Took you 5 minutes, so it's easy for you to appease and comfort your mind. It's only 5 minutes, let me sit at one spot and let me complete the zikr. Now, as you're doing it regularly, now the urge for increasing the zikr is coming more into your heart. You're doing it now for 6 minutes and 7 minutes and 8 minutes, you're going up all the time. But the first day, you said, no, let me do for 2 hours. Tomorrow? So no, I did once now, it's enough now for to keep me going for the 1 year, it's enough. Like you say, no, I ate today, it's enough for me to last 1 year. Can't. You have to have today, you have to have it tomorrow again. So this, we're talking about the Jews, right? This is what happened to them. This is where they went wrong. They went and they went into extremism. Fasting one way. Now they don't even differentiate between the Faras and the Nafal. One way they're going on. Right? That's what happened to the Christians as well. Right? Rahbaniyat and ibtada'uha. The intentions were flawless, intentions were good. When you talk about these Christians and when they went into this monasticism, how it started off? It started off like this, that if they were practicing Christians, then they were being oppressed by their leaders, being killed, tortured, persecuted. So they said, no, the reason why we are being tortured and persecuted is because of us, our adherence to our religion. We're speaking out against the state, so the state can't see us speaking against them. So therefore they are persecuting us, they're killing us. So now they said, no, let's have nothing to do with women, with wives, with luxuries, etc. We just go into the wilderness and worship Allah Ta'ala until death overtakes us. Now they imposed this upon themselves. It wasn't something that Allah Ta'ala had imposed upon them. But they went right to the extremes. فَمَا رَأَوْهَا حَقَّ رِعَيَتِهَا. And after that, when they went into the extremes, they couldn't maintain it. When they couldn't maintain it, then they left everything out. Now there isn't a concept of true Christianity. Where will you find true Christianity? You can't find it today. They were mixed and matched and did a lot of things. Not only mixing, but matching also. They tried to mix it up, and cover it up, and matching it up with idolatry. This whole belief of Trinity, where did it start off from? From idolatry. That's the starting point. This is how it started off. So therefore, Rasulullah ﷺ emphasizes that you should work and work with moderation. Work consistently. خَيْرُ الْأَعْمَالِ أَدْوَمُهَا وَلَوْ قَلَّ. You're doing it, but you're doing it consistently. You're doing 2 rakat nafil namaz in the day, do it every day. Then don't miss it out. No matter where you are, then do it regularly. Do it regularly. But with the regularity, then do it under the guidance of some senior person, some sheikh as well. Don't do it of your own. I tell you, don't do it of your own. You will do it of your own and you will create some complications for yourself. Now, someone heard on bayan to remain the state of wuzu is a very great thing. Now, he started to remain the state of wuzu. Now, for him to remain the state of wuzu, he's got stomach problems, right? When he's got stomach problems, he's holding that. Gases want to come out, he's holding. Pisab wants to come out, he's holding. Now, what happens? He's creating complications for himself. Had he connected himself to someone elder, he wouldn't have had these complications. Why did he encounter these problems? He didn't contact some elder. And the elder also needs to be someone that is specializing in this. If he didn't specialize in this, then also it's going to be problems. One person, he started off now, some sheikh, he started off, and he didn't specialize. Now he didn't specialize, he made it a duty upon all his murids that you only go to the toilet after iftar. You have your iftar and then you go to toilet. Now all his murids, everybody is going to have the iftar, they go to the toilet. They're holding it the whole day, they're holding it. Imagine now, our stomachs, you know, and especially when I look at people after Sehri, everything is upside down. And I can understand why, because the tartib, the sequence of the meals have been changed. So the bowel movements also have changed. Now you're going to toilet, but oft times you're going. Stomach is not right for the first few days. Then after about 5 days, 6 days, then it comes right again. So as everybody is coming to the masjid to make iftar, they are running to the toilet. See how your own invention, sometimes the man is not trained, he is not specialized in that. Right? And sometimes you are working out a path of sincerity and on righteousness of your own. You're doing it and you're doing it of your own. You heard about wuzu and you're keeping the wuzu. Now you're creating complications for yourself. Now you created a problem for yourself. Like I say, simultaneous commands of Allah Ta'ala. The Allah Ta'ala that asked you to do all this nafal, He also told you that this body is an amanat, it's not yours. So you take care of it. So you damage that body, haven't you destroyed that amanat that He has given in your hands? You've destroyed that. He didn't ask you to go and destroy. But why have you taken it? Why have you gone in that direction? Had you had an elder, that elder would have told you, you do it like this. Don't go and do it yourself. So we're coming back to the hadith with the Sahaba Ikram. They would ask Rasulullah Paksim. They wouldn't do things of their own. Small things, big things. They would ask. They would ask Rasulullah Paksim, how do we do this? How do we do this? See, deen is very easy. It's not a difficult thing at all. Don't think at all that deen is a difficult thing. One person used to come and visit Hazrat Muhammad Thami Sahib Rahmatullahi. So one day he came with a little bit of a delay. So Mawlana asked him, you come at this time at 2 o'clock every day, but today you came at 4 o'clock. What happened? He says, no, I had to attend on conference. What happened there? So he says, no, at the conference they were discussing that Islam, na'uzubillah, is an obstruction in the road of progress. When you progress, then Islam says, no, interest is haram. When you progress again, then Islam says, lottery is haram. When you progress, then Islam is saying that this type of dealing is haram. It's not right. So this is becoming a big obstruction on the way of progress. Right. Well, I heard him out that this was the theme of the conference. So he says, all right. Allah Pak says in the Quran, مَا جَعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجِ. You know, there is a law in grammar, نَفِي تَحْتَ النَّكِيرَ. When it's a negative, a negative is coming with nakira, right? So yufidul umum. Now it'll generalize. Allah Pak is saying when it's a general meaning, you know, it's giving a general meaning, it's giving an exaggerated meaning, then what does it really refer to? That there's absolutely no difficulty in deen. What it's saying? Not there's no difficulty, there's absolutely no difficulty in deen. Look at it. This is how the Quran is saying it. Nafi tahta nakira. And there's absolutely, ma ja'ala alaykum fi dini min harat. There's absolutely no difficulty. Right? It's like, I say, you know, that schooling is fun, you know, schooling is fun. It's grade 1, grade 2, and you just have to work at an average pace and you'll move. Now, you come from one farm and say, hey, you know, schooling is such a difficult thing. I say, but schooling is not a difficult thing at all, it's an easy thing. But the problem with you is, you don't have the structures of a school in your place. Therefore, you say it is difficult. But otherwise, the schooling itself is an easy thing. See? Like you see your children going through, you hardly hear of a child, you know, grade R or grade 1, grade 2 failing. You have a child, you hardly hear about it. So everybody's going through, they're playing, jumping, running, having parties and all that, but they're still passing. Don't you hear that? So it is an easy thing, it's a simple exercise. But if the child, or if you say that school is difficult, it's not because the structure is difficult, it's easy. But you don't have a structure to make a school there in your place. You don't have the teachers there, you don't have a school there. So are you finding that schooling to be so difficult? You say, you know, hey, to become a doctor is such a difficult thing. It's not a difficult thing. It's not a difficult thing, but you don't have the structures for it. Exactly the same, you don't have people practicing Islam, therefore you feel it's difficult. Otherwise, Islam itself is easy. If you don't have the structure, then you can't say that Islam is difficult, na'uzubillah. Why should you say that Islam is difficult? You don't have the structures for practicing Islam. You don't have an environment. You don't have a surrounding of practicing Islam. Therefore, you find it difficult. But if everybody is practicing Islam, everybody is practicing on deen, then you would have found yourself to be the odd one out. Like you find it difficult to attend namaz in the masjid every day, right? But now you go to Haram Sharif, Makkah, Madinah, Munawwara, you will feel yourself to be the odd one out if you don't attend the namaz in the Haram Sharif. Won't you find it difficult? Say, everybody went to masjid and I didn't go to the masjid. this English people, they like exploring and adventure, finding out, you know, traveling on their own. They like all this adventure. Some of them, not all of them, they like all this thing. So one Englishman, he wrote a book, he says, I went to the Arab lands exploring, living with the nomads, living with Arabs, Bedouins and all that, you know. So for direction purposes and all that, for my own service, and my own khidmat, I employed some Bedouins that they may take me around. So we traveled. And then suddenly I see, I'm in front and they are behind. So I see, hey, there's nobody here. Then I look behind, I see they're all engaged in namaz. One person started off the namaz and everybody's behind him. And it just caught my attraction. That whole namaz, it just caught my heart. And I kept on watching them. When I watched them, my heart told me that I'm like a criminal. You know, I'm like a criminal. See all these people, they all are bowing down. They are showing their subjugation. They're subjecting themselves to Allah Ta'ala. And I am a defiant person. I'm not subjugating myself. I saw myself as a criminal. And that was the turning point for me to accept Islam. So where there is the environment, then it is easy. But when there isn't an environment, you say, can it happen? Can it work? All that is required is someone gives a start. Right? Like in our South Africa, right? There wasn't the kurta that was being worn, right, when we were children. And you won't find a single woman with a hijab. You know how you have the abaya and all that. Right? You won't find a single woman. I don't remember. In my childhood, in early 60s, I never find anybody. They came afterwards. Alhamdulillah, the fazal of Allah Ta'ala. Now for a woman not to wear an abaya and leave the house, that's difficult. Right? For an average practicing Muslim, it is difficult for him to wear a shirt and come to the masjid. Average. Right? Or say slightly above average, it's difficult. Right? Now it's become easier to be wearing a kurta. It's easier for a woman to wear an abaya or something and then leave the house, isn't it? I don't support all the other things that they do. Like they feel, like they say generally, you know, an abaya and a parda is a license for us to go to the mauling and hauling. Right? So I don't support that. But the fact that they're wearing an abaya, that is enough evidence that they have got some dini realization and some dini understanding that they feel that it's not the right thing for them to come out without being clothed correctly. So when there isn't a surrounding, then it becomes difficult. So what is required is someone needs to give a start. You give a start, Allah Ta'ala's support comes. In Tansurullah, you help the cause of Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala will help you. Nobody knew about interest and suddenly people began to speak about it. Now there is an awareness that interest is haram. Don't do it like this. There is a thing like business, finance, and let it be Islamic compliant, etc. Someone started it off, Alhamdulillah, there is an understanding amongst people. So when you start it off, then Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will definitely support you. But then when you start it off, then you must be firm. Then you must be firm. تَنْصُرُ yansurkum wa yuthabbit aqdamakum. Then you need to be firm. Then don't compromise. Because now at this point, from this point onwards, there's going to be trials as well. You're not going to be just left like that. There's going to be trials. I mean, you spoke about halal and haram. So at some point, there's going to be some difficulty. There's going to be some challenges that's going to come on your way. Ya ayyul insan, innaka kadihun ila rabbika kadhan famulaqi. Allah Pak says it very clearly. You know, this, the Quran Sharif, it's so explicit. Allah Pak give us that tawfiq, that we reflect over these verses. The verses which speaks about encouragement, akhirat, etc., about man itself, we reflect over these verses. The verses that speak about commandments, that's beyond our parameters. That is for senior, great ulama-i-kiram. But akhirat, jannat, jahannam, about understanding life, about the hereafter, that is for all. We just need to understand it and then reflect about it. Reflect about it. The moment you reflect about it, you'll find life, and you'll find that the Quran Sharif is really identifying with you, identifying with all your problems. There isn't a single problem that the Quran Sharif is not talking about and not identifying. I mean, it is the Creator whose words these are, right? It is His words. And He's already made your itinerary and the itinerary of everybody till the day of Qiyamah. He's made your itinerary in everything. So His plan will be the most perfect. His constitution will be without defect. Because He's already planned it. So all you need to understand is then look into the Quran Sharif and look into these verses. What is it talking about? See what Allah is saying, إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَدْحًا فَمُلَاقِي. You are in a constant state of toiling until you meet Allah Ta'ala, your Rabb. In other words, until death, you are in a constant state of toiling, struggling. At the beginning, when you were conceived, now you're confined to the womb of your mother. You can't move right, can't move left, you can't move forward, you can't move backwards. Nothing, no, nothing doing. Can't even move. You just had to live like that. At that time you felt comfortable. Didn't you feel comfortable? Felt relaxed because you were not exposed to the other environment. To the negative environment, you wasn't exposed. So in that difficulty, you made yourself comfortable. So the difficulty comes about when you see others. When you see others in a state of relaxation, why can't I be like that? Why can't I be like that? So really it wasn't a difficulty, but because you are aspiring for that life, this life has become difficult. So then the child is born. When the child is born, again he's confined to that cord or to the mother's lap or to whatever else, but he's confined, again he can't move. He can't even turn to the right, he can't turn to the left, he can't feed himself. The only thing he knows to do is to cry. Is there anything else that the child knows besides crying? Nothing. Again he's confined. For a year or so he's confined. Then there's some movement coming up in him. Parents are taking a keen interest, there's some movement. He's walking, learning to walk or crawl or something. Again he can't do everything of himself. Can he do everything? Everybody's enjoying the running, they're playing with toys, someone is moving with a car. Can he do all these things? He can't do it. So he's gradually moving up. Now he comes to the third, fourth year of his life. Then he needs to go to a nursery, right? He needs to go to a nursery. So gradually he's coming up. In the nursery again he's confined. That till the third, till the age of 3-4, he couldn't do his own thing. He can't say, Mom, I want to go and run, I want to jump into the pool. You can't jump. I want to go with my friends, everybody's going to have a braai after Isha, 10, 11 o'clock, at the age of 3, you're going to do it. You're going to allow him, not going to allow him. No, you couldn't find. And he's thinking, hey, why are they jailing me up? I'm not a prisoner. What haram I did for them to keep me as a prisoner? So you confide again. Now as you're coming up 4-5 years of age, again, the nursery, you're bottled up again. You can't have your own movement, you can't have your freedom, you can't run around. Just listen to that class, whether it's boring or interesting, just have to remain seated there. You can't have your movement, you can't have your freedom. So then we're just waiting, hey, let me just get out of this nursery, then at least I'll have some freedom. I can breathe fresh air. Now, the moment you finish with that, now the school starts. The school starts and heavy work starts off, examination and assignment, do this homework and do that homework. I thought everything will be, you know, so rosy out there. And now, there's difficulty upon difficulty. The nursery was still better than the school. I can't reverse it now. You can't reverse it, go back to nursery, you can't enjoy it. I thought that was easier, but that's come with more difficulties. Now, as he's now finishing matric now, hey, you see, difficulties. Having such a good time now. I come to matric now, hey, so worried. I must get through, you know. I must get through. If I don't get through, then I'll be an embarrassment for the whole family. I don't get admission into university. What will people say? Hey, you went down on this subject here. Now, I can't go and make every story to everybody. You know, I was sick there, and I couldn't do the examinations on time. Therefore, I have to just repeat it. Some people will catch up with your story. Right? Everybody may not catch up the story, but some people will catch up the story. So you can't make excuses. Now you see, how will I face people if I fail? If I come down in this subject, how do they look at me? Everybody will be celebrating. So sometimes it is physical trauma and stress, sometimes it is mental trauma and stress. And I tell you that mental trauma and stress is far worse. إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَدْحًا فَمُلَاقِ. Now again, just reflect over this verse. Is there a point in time where you can say, now, hey, I'm totally off now. Clear, everything, all only green lights. Everything is just only working for me all the time. No, you can't say. Now you finished the matric, now you got into university. You got everything, all right, came out. Now look for a proper business. The business starts off like that. No, you have to work hard. To establish the business, to establish your name and all that, it takes time again. Does it just come up like that? No, I have to come up, strive again, strive. إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَدْحًا. All constant. Whether you're in a business, whether you're in a profession, but you have to be on the strong, on that constant strive, struggle again, again and again. Now you thought, all right, now my business is established now everything is clear. Now as the business got cleared, now wife and children come up. The child's assignment, homework, and the teachers called us, you know, and they were complaining about my child, he's a little bit backwards now. Hey, I need to take him for remedial. And I don't know why this child is, why is he backwards, you know. And now, how must I, where must I go and duck my face? Because this child is backwards now. Are you ashamed about your child because he's a little bit backwards? What people would say, they'll ask about the child, did he pass or fail? And I can't keep on telling them, no, he's passing all the time. They'll catch up with me. So I'm in shame again. You see that mental trauma that you're going to, mental stress. So don't think at any time in this life, you're going to be free of any problems. You will have one problem, you know, lined up after the other. One problem is finished and the second one starting off. One is finished and the second one starting off. Now as you finish all that, now the child is in his teens, 17, 18. Allah, Allah, this child mustn't get into drugs, man. Allah, just make dua for me. So you see some buzur, he mustn't get into wrong company. He mustn't get into womanizing. He mustn't get into the BB and all that. He mustn't get into all these chat lines and all that. Just make dua for my child. Now you worried again about the child. So is there any point in time where you can say, no, I am finished now. Farig ho gaya. No, you're not farig still. Then as the children become big now, and you're getting grandchildren, now you've got in-law problems, mother-in-law problems, father-in-law problems, this problem, this one is saying something else, someone is saying something else. So does that problem end at any point? Then as everything ends, now you're coming 45, 50, now by going have a regular checkup, sugar, pressure, heart, cancer, this problem, that problem, gee, you must go and check up, you know, it's these times that we are living in. You don't have a regular checkup, you'll cause a big problem for yourself, so you must go and check up. Now, see, you know, you got a slight heart problem, by you better look after your cholesterol, your eating pattern, all, you need to change it, you need to correct it again. So is there a point where you can say, now, everything is clear for me? Now, look at the verse again. How clear, how aptly Allah Ta'ala says, you are in a constant state of struggle all the time. And I tell you that this is a great blessing of Allah Ta'ala. He tells you that you are in a constant state of trial and difficulty. In a constant state of difficulty, trial, struggling. You are in that state all the time. Right till death, you are in that state. Old age now, you become dependent. You don't hear old people saying, Allah Pak koi na muhtaj nahi kare. Allah Pak doesn't make us muhtaj of anyone. Don't hear them say that. Many a time you'll hear them saying that. Because they see what's going around. Now the children don't want to take care of them. They have just abandoned their parents. They're not taking care of them. So they worried about the old age. So that old age also, they're not free. They got the wealth, but they're not free. Poor that Apple, the one that started all these Apple computers, he died just now. He had cancer. What he was doing? The whole world knew about him. They were singing about him. And there was cancer. And finished, kalas. End of the game. So anybody, can there be anybody, in spite of the technology advancement and all that, anybody can put a stop to all these difficulties? Became so difficult, so sick the person, he couldn't climb up, ordinary stairs he couldn't climb up. إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَدْحًا فُمُلَاقِي. So it's a constant state of difficulty, constant state of trial, constant state of struggle. Everything is working now, this investment is going down. Or this business is going down. Everything was working very well for me. Alhamdulillah, that factory, I did this. Now suddenly, now this Chinese imports began to come now, business has gone down. Well, I make dua for that it goes well. You see that? The complications that come. Alhamdulillah, all these people come to me and they come and tell me their stories. So my mind also opens up. To understand this verse, you need to have some experience, some exposure. Then you understand it in perspective. But I say you, that this is a blessing of Allah Ta'ala that He has forewarned us. He's told us in advance that you're going to be in a constant state of trial and difficulty. Why I say it's a blessing? I say it's a blessing because that calamity is a calamity when things happen against your expectation. Hazrat Rahmatullahi says that, you know, when you're getting married, you must understand that this woman is naqisul aql. She is deficient, right? She is crooked. She is naqis. So she's going to do things crooked. She's going to do things not correctly. Right? So the day she does things incorrectly and crookedly, then say that it was expected that it must go like this, right? Like you walk in the rain, you must get wet. So you don't get, hey, why am I getting rain? I'm getting wet. You don't get worried about it because it's expected that you walk in the rain, you'll get wet. You don't get upset about it. Right. But if someone pushed you into the pool and you got wet, then you get angry. Don't you get angry about it. I don't expect this to happen. Why did it happen to me? So exactly the same. Now you have got an expectation that life is a bed of roses, is enjoyment, heavily, you know, like this fairy tales that you read. They lived happily ever after. So it's a fairy tale that this is not that place. Jannat is that place where you live happily ever after. Here you'll have to go through the toil. So Allah Pak is forewarning you so that you don't feel disappointed, you don't feel disillusioned, you don't feel despondent. Okay, if it came, then it was expected. So if she acted crookedly, then it was expected of her to be acting crookedly. But the day she was straight, then you say, hey, what happened today? You see, how is Buzurganuddin, how they train our minds. Really, I feel, you know, without this Buzurganuddin, you don't have the true flavor of deen. You may have deen, but the true flavor, the true essence, the true spirit of deen, you will not get it. Coming back to that incident of Usayd ibn Hudayr, radiyallahu, I say they asked Rasulullah SAW, they kept in contact, they didn't do things of their own. So he comes to Rasulullah SAW and explains, Ya Rasulullah, on the one end, these people are doing this, they're going to the extreme, they're not even living with that wife. In the days of their menses, they're not even sharing the same room, not even eating together. Right? Now, we are commanded to oppose the Jews. When you're commanded to oppose the Jews, then in that spirit of opposition, the spirit of opposing them, shouldn't we also share the bed with them? Shouldn't we also share the bed with them, that in the true spirit of opposition, that we eat with them, we share the same room, and they don't do anything. So now, the only thing that is left now is that we share the bed with them. So can't we share the bed with them? So Rasulullah SAW expressed his disapproval. There was a change on the face of Rasulullah SAW. He turned red. He expressed a disapproval. And I tell you, what a great blessing this was, that this had to happen. That on the one end, Rasulullah SAW asked us to go against the Jews and the Christians, right? But there is a certain point, there is a certain limit that you go against them, not beyond that limit. Right? It's a certain point that you go against them. It's not a general rule that in everything you must oppose them. For example, the Jews and the Christians now, they begin to keep beards. So you won't say that you'll shave off your beard in a spirit of opposition. No, that's a limit. There's a limit there, you will do it within the limit. Don't go beyond that limit. So Rasulullah said to show them that when you're opposing them, then you oppose them within the limit, don't go beyond the limit. Otherwise, like they are criminals, you'll become criminals. So he had to show it, and it was a blessing that the Sahaba Ikram mentioned this to Rasulullah. Had they not mentioned this, then we would have been in a quandary, we would have been in a loss, that we need to oppose them, then to what extent do we oppose them? But now, look at the situation, look at Rasulullah, look at the magnanimity, look at the comprehensive nature of Rasulullah. Now these people got a little bit worried. Anyway, that sitting had ended, so these people got up and moved. There's two Sahabi, Usayd ibn Hudayr and Abbad ibn Bishr, they move out. As they left, someone brought a gift, some bowl of milk or something was brought. So Rasulullah called for them. Come. They came, and Rasulullah offered the milk to them. Now I look at this hadith from different angles, and I think to myself, what there may have been many reasons for Rasulullah presenting the milk to them, but I feel one great reason, for Rasulullah presenting the meal to them was that when Rasulullah had shown disapproval, so they may have felt afraid. When they will be overawed, and they'll be overcome with fear, now they will find it difficult to relate to Rasulullah because they are overcome with fear. Right? So Rasulullah understood this. Number two, Rasulullah understood that the niyat was right. They asked in with the right niyat. The intentions were not corrupt. Intentions were right. Right. So now, this feeling of awe, this feeling that will create a barrier between them and Rasulullah, this feeling had to be broken down straight away. Right. Their niyats had to be respected. Their niyats was good. They wanted to learn in deen. So they inquired from Rasulullah, where it was an occasion to show disapproval, Rasulullah showed disapproval. But where there was a need for Rasulullah to embrace them again, he embraced them again. Now there's a milk here. Accept this milk. Now their hearts are clear, their minds are clear. Now they want to put 10 other questions before Rasulullah. The line of communication is open. Otherwise, there would have been a difficulty, as we look at it in ourselves, there would have been a difficulty in the line of communication. Hey, now we ask one question, we cause it for ourselves, let's don't bring any problem to ourselves again. Wouldn't it have happened? It would have happened. Once we asked, and we cause it for ourselves, so let us not cause an interruption in that line. So you see this Sahaba Ikram, and how they conducted themselves. They would ask small things, big things, they would ask. They would not do things of their own. Now this is a missing thing that is, I feel it's a great problem in this age and time. And the reason why it's a great problem today is because life has become so complicated, so difficult. Challenges. It's become so difficult. They are explaining that hadith, that 1/10 if you do it, you know. And Rasulullah is telling us, he's encouraging us, right, if you practice that, just remain firm on your deen, how much you can, and you will get the reward of 50 Sahaba Ikram. So he had been shown the challenges. You have practiced at least 1/10. And what he's telling you, the reward is multiplied 50 Sahaba, only for you holding firm onto your deen. So he understands that there's going to be challenges, there's going to be difficulties, there's going to be problems all the way. Looking this way, this problem, you're looking at that way, this. At every turn, there's a problem. What do? You hold firm to your deen. So that promise is there for you. So you try how much you can. How much you can, you try. And there the reward has been promised for you. So I say that this is the great problem in this age, that we are not referring to our elders, to our mashayikh. It's a small problem, it's a big problem, but we don't go and experiment it ourselves. As it starts off, we don't give ourselves the second chance. Whether it is a computer, whether it's a phone, whether it's whatever else, but we don't give ourselves a second chance. We keep ourselves in check all the time. Otherwise, we're waiting now for a big explosion, a mighty explosion, then we're going to relate, hey, now I caused it for myself. I went and slept with that girl, I did this thing here, right? Now you're waiting for a big explosion, but where you started off from? You started off from an innocent SMS. SMS, then mix it, then BB, whatever else, right? Or BB jo halal thi, to usko lete nahi. Or haram BB ko lete hai. That was halal for you, that you didn't go for. And when you didn't go for, then you started off these things, yeah? You started off the pranks, and then eventually you would land up in haram. When you got land up in haram, now you say, come and fix me up. But when you started from the very beginning, one time you went on the mix it, one time you went on to the pawn, then say no. Then you tell yourself, I went one time to the pawn, I'm torn. Right? Shaitan has conned me. You need to tell yourself that I've been conned. I've been torn. Now I can't allow this to happen for the second time. If I'm going to allow this for the second time, that means this, I'm allowing this to become an addiction. When it becomes an addiction and it's deeply set into my system, then I want to get out of it. It's going to be too late. Then I'm going to break my marriage. I'm going to cause a problem for some other person's daughter. I'm going to cause problems for myself right across the board. I'm going to cause problems. And I tell you, there's no age limit for all this. For the gunas that are related to lust, there's no age limit. People that are of the age of 60, they come and complain. I don't think anybody here is 60 years of age, but I know people come and complain at the age of 60, 65, and they say, tell me personally, that we go onto the site to the spawn thing here, whatever it is, however it is, from Isha time right till Fajr. When they get hooked onto it, from Isha right till 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, they're hooked onto it. But what's the bottom line? What is the reason that they get locked up like this? They get locked up like this because they don't relate, they don't talk, they don't speak to the elders, they don't consider the wrong to be a wrong, they don't consider the sin to be a sin, they don't consider the sickness to be a sickness. So that makes it much more complicated. You're not considering the sickness to be a sickness. You don't consider the ailment to be an ailment. What happens? But where you want to protect yourself, you want to guard yourself, then there won't be a repetition. What's the use of coming telling the Shaykh, no, I did it again. I went to the site, I slipped up again. Right? You don't have the real fear of Allah Ta'ala. Really, I tell you, If you had the real fear of Allah, it would have been just one slip and that's the end of it. Just once. And you would, that would have been the end of it. The mashayikh also, they have just lowered the standards. That is why I feel that people are taking advantage. One person came to the Muhammad, complained about the eyes, misuse of the eye. Right? Someone asked him, that is this ikhtiyari or ghair ikhtiyari? Is this within your volition and choice or without your volition? It's beyond your volition and choice. Is it within your volition and choice to control your sight or is it beyond that? So not, it's within. Someone tells him, alright, if it's within your choice and volition, then you won't ever come to me. You don't even write a letter to me. If you slip again, you don't even come to me again. He received the Mullah's reply, 5 years passed, no guna at all. See, that the standard was high. When he maintained that standard, he was firm. So now that was extracted, it was sort of, you know, it was pushed out of the system, came out of the system. But I said, no, make Tawbah, Istighfar. So what happened? He said, do it again. He said, no, all you have to do is Istighfar, Tawbah, and that's the end of it. Make one Salatul Tasbih, make one Istighfar, Tasbih, finish, crash, end of the story. But I said, no, you don't come here again. Now, that must be a self-imposition. You need to impose it upon yourself. You impose it upon yourself, no, I'm not going to come again. Then you find, hey, it's so difficult. Then your brains will get brains. Before that, the brains can't get brains. Allah Taufiq Naseeb Kareem.